Okay. So, last time we met, so 2 weeks ago, we finished up discussing cellular implementation by talking about sort of how it's evolved from this circuit switched voice-oriented network to a packet-switched data-oriented network. And we looked at this indeed as an evolution. So we started with our baseline of GSM and then saw how things evolved. So we started with 2.5G, which things like Edge started adding packet handling to the 2G network, and so allowed sort of separate packet and voice handling. And, you know, got up to, at the time, reasonable data rates. 3G was then an attempt to improve data rates, mainly by introducing new air interfaces, which were more spectrally efficient, and most of these were CDMA-based. At the time, we had, you know, again, going through this landscape of having lots and lots of standards to having two primary competing standards of UMTS in Europe and CDMA 2000 in North America. Okay. 4G is, again, primarily improvements of this two major components, improvements to the air interface again. So now we're going to OFDM-based techniques. And we are also moving to an IP core. Okay. At this point, all of the standards have merged under the sort of LTE banner, and that's where we're at now, is everything is presented as an LTE-based standard, and 5G will be sort of, again, an evolution on LTE. Okay, and we saw that 5G was, to some extent, more of the same. How do we get bigger and better data rates? And although there was an acknowledgement that there were sort of a number of use cases which had different characteristics. So you had your sort of basic end user who wants to be able to stream HD video, and you also have the rise of the Internet of Things, so you have thousands of machines wanting to possibly send data. Okay. And so probably the techniques for dealing with the various components will be somewhat different. 5G is not standardized as of yet. Okay. So we've been picking up bits of the quality of service discussion as we're here and there throughout the lectures, but I thought I'd sort of pull it together into a sort of short presentation. And so, again, the basic idea is that different applications need different things, different resources from the network. And so the question becomes, well, how does the network provide those resources, or if not, why not? Okay, so we are going to be looking at the provision of resources in this lecture. Okay, so again, a good starting point just to get an idea of sort of what applications need is recommendation G1010. And this surveyed different applications, studied what the resource requirements were of different applications, and then sought to categorize the applications based on these requirements. So, I would argue that voice is distinct from video, is distinct, or might be distinct from video, is certainly distinct from file transfer. And what are the main characteristics? Okay. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. If you look at a recommendation G1010, again, what you'll see is that there's a big survey of different types of applications, and they're categorized according to symmetry, are they one-way or two-way, what are typical data rates, and data rates are subject to change, obviously, what are the performance targets, so this would be in terms of delay, jitter, and loss, typically. And then, of course, providing for notes about anything that's sort of outside of those parameters, but important. Okay, so this list is comprehensive. And what we saw was that based on that list, you could characterize your applications in terms of whether they could tolerate error or not. Okay, so again, just files have to get there complete. Voice or video can stand, have some information dropped in, they'll still be able to play out. And then how sensitive are these to delay? So if you're having some sort of conversations, an interactive application, these are most delay sensitive. And so you have to have very small delays. Basically, if it's one way, but you still have a person on the end waiting, then you need a responsiveness, but you can tolerate slightly higher delays. Again, it's sort of a one-off, like if you're buffering video, but once you're buffering will play out, then people are going to wait a little longer. And then some things, when it gets there, it gets there. In general, people are still going to be surprised if it takes a long time, but they're probably not sitting there drumming their fingers. Okay. Now, if we consider this in the context, when you did 3-2-1 for the undergrads, you saw this in the context of the internet. And so what we essentially said was that end-to-end, there are very few guarantees except for over-provisioning of the network. And so we had the long discussion about how the applications themselves could deal with whatever problems the network threw up. Okay. In the context of our wireless systems, what we're going to look at is the wireless link. Okay. Under the assumption that this is where a lot of your problems are going to arise. Once you get back to the phone network, the internet, you can have problems, but in general, they are well provisioned, and things are usually go smoothly. But there are a lot of issues to deal with allocating the wireless resources. And so, in terms of 802.11, we can think that we have a wireless link to an access point. or 802.16. In terms of cellular, we have a link to a gateway to the data network, and the first hop on that link is the is a wireless link. And so we're going to look at so the high points for WiMAX LTE. Both of these assume that you can centrally, or both of these centrally allocate resources. So you have some sort of controller that decides everything about the resource allocation. So you can make then guarantees, or reasonable shots at guarantees for resource network resources. And we will also look at 802.11, which again has distributed access. And sort of as a contrast, we'll see what sort of guarantees or not, or how we can try and give guarantees. Well, not guarantees, but how we can try and favor traffic that has more quality service requirements. So, quality service provisioning relates to the connection now, at least what we're talking about today, is just the connection between the user and either an access point or a gateway, not end-to-end, so not from one user to another user, or from a user to a server or whatever. Okay. And so we've already said something, I'll just re-mention it, about we improving, well, I said a fair amount about trying to improve data transmission over channels, and we've seen that this is a complex issue, particularly in light of mobility, where the channel characteristics are changing. Okay. And then we also have sort of finite resources to share out, and so the question then is how we allocate amongst multiple users. Again, if you have centralized control, then you have a decision maker that has, you can assume, full view of the state of the system, and it will try and optimize those decisions. Okay, so we've already discussed link adaptation, but or at least we've mentioned it. This would be the first step in trying to provide good quality services, to just get a good quality link. And we noted that all modern wireless systems use adaptive modulation encoding to improve data quality. And what that did was that depending on channel quality, we could vary the modulation, the amount of bit rate at which we're sending. We could use multiple channels or different channels. We use channel coding, and potentially, we can use more or less bandwidth. Okay. So, again, all of this has to be, ideally what you'd want to do is sort of choose the best channel for the user, and sort of depending on the characteristics of that channel, again, you're going to have to allocate more or less resources to achieve the same bitrate for the user.
Okay. And so,
as an example, WiMAX allows those sort of various modulation schemes, which will again allow you to send more or less bits per signaling element, and also, again, more stronger or weaker coding depending on sort of the quality of the channel. And that can be done on a burst-to-burst basis, so for one transmission cycle, from one transmission time to the next. Okay. And so the base station can measure the channel quality in the downlink direction, and then, you know, in the uplink direction from user to the base station, it will tries to estimate the channel quality. Okay. Based on that, again, it's the base station that chooses the modulation encoding scheme, and not the user. Okay, so it's a total of 52 combinations of modulation encoding that can be used. Okay. And again, we have sort of the usual that you would think. In terms of modulation, and then coding, again, is a combination of convolution codes. Okay, and typically, again, what you get is that the channel quality is dependent on distance from base station, although, again, in the case of mobility, mobility factors as well, but the base station is able to assess that quality and assign coding and modulation schemes that are appropriate.
Okay, so for a given physical resource,
it's a frequency carrier. Essentially, we get different possible data rates. And again, the flip side of that is that if you're an application that requires a certain data rate, you may need more or less physical resources to provide that data rate. Okay. And so, that's something that, again, a centralized controller can determine.
Okay.
So, we're going to look again at WiMAX, LTE, and then Wi-Fi. In terms of these resource allocation, we'll start with WiMAX. And again, WiMAX is an example of a centrally determined resource allocation strategy. Now, again, the original purpose of WiMAX was to provide point-to-point wireless broadband. Okay, and since then it has been sort of expanded to other applications. As we noted, it was the first to propose the use of OFDM and MIMO, and it was also one of the early proposers of this concept of quality of service allocation.
Okay. The allocation is based on a negotiated allocation of resources
between sender and base station, and a resource is an OFDM slash time slot chunk.
Okay, so you get a channel and a time slot. And as we noted,
those resources can be allocated amongst different users.
Okay. So, in a
quality of service context, not every user needs the same amount of resources. So you choose to allocate possibly multiple slots to a single user.
Okay, so you allocate the user what they need. Okay. And so
if you need, again, multiple slots, then they can either be assigned as a contiguous series of slots. And if you are clear on your channel characteristics, that's sort of the easiest way to allocate the resources. If you're having issues with small-scale effects, so essentially your user is moving, then you may choose to use distributed subcarriers to sort of give more diversity and hence a better quality of signal. Mm-hmm. Allocation, of course, is according to demand, as sort of negotiated between user and access point, and the negotiations are going to take into account the quality of service requirements and the channel conditions. So again, if you can pick for any individual user, if you can pick better channels, then it's easier to fulfill the quality of service with less resources.
Okay. So resources are allocated sort of in uplink and downlink directions.
And depending on the type of traffic, you either have an asymmetry or a downlink gets more of the resources, and on the assumption that users are receiving data much more than they're sending data, or possibly if there's balance between sending and receiving, account for that in the resource allocation.
Excuse me. Okay. So, the access point will determine the
what the allocation of resources to users is, and that allows, again, an allocation of a region, a grouping of our resources. And we call that grouping a burst. And then specifies your modulation encoding scheme per burst. So the question is how is that allocation done? And the bandwidth controls both the uplink and downlink allocation. Downlink allocation is based on incoming traffic. So again, traffic comes into the base station, and so the base station has a full picture of how much traffic there is. In the uplink direction, well, the traffic is based on what the users want to send, and the users will have to inform the base station of their requirements. And there's a number of ways in which that informing is accomplished. We'll see that the base station will poll the users and ask what data they have to send. And in some cases, the users will have to request access, and again, the access request is a contention-based mechanism, so the slots the user's going to broadcast their requests in, and eventually somebody will get through. Finally, if our user already has an allocation, we'll see that they can also use that allocation to request additional resources from the base station. Okay. So the allocation decisions are going to be strongly tied to the quality of service considerations. So the user is going to have a type of data, whether that's a video or a voice connection, and they are going to have to negotiate the appropriate resources from the base station. Okay. So, again, this is connection-oriented in the sense that very little is left to chance. Rather, again, the base station is allocating resources on an as-needed basis. Okay. So, the base station, again, is a centralized controller and has a complete, will be provided with a complete picture of the requirements, so it's allowed, so we can make a bandwidth allocation, or potentially, if there isn't enough bandwidth, not. Unidirectional connections are provided, so an uplink and a downlink direction, and in addition, data and controls travel over separate connections. Okay. The data is and is managed through what's called a service flow. And so that is allowed, so that allows you to link data with sort of application and with the appropriate quality of service parameters. So if I'm streaming a video, the data from that video is its own flow, distinct from any other data transaction I'm doing. Okay. So the resource allocation is done on a per flow basis. And for this flow, we allocate parameters, which indicate the quality of service requirements for our flow. So the data rates required, potentially priority. The tolerance of delay, jitter, etc. Okay. And based on those, we have an amount of resources allocated. So we can track what quality of service parameters are being provided at any given time to any given flow. And in the reverse, we can check that the data that the user is sending into the network actually adheres to the parameters that were agreed on. So if we're streaming a video, we agreed on a certain bit rate, and you can check that bitrate is actually being adhered to. Okay. So you don't just get to sort of, you don't have to negotiate everything sort of in isolation, but five services are defined, which, again, each service relates to the characteristics of certain types of applications, and then sort of the scheduling, the resource allocation for each of those services is based on, again, the characteristics of the different applications. Okay. So we have five possibilities: unsolicited grant service. Okay, and this is something where you have a constant data rate, real-time polling service, where you have a stream, but potentially not of a constant rate, non-real-time polling service. So you didn't want to send your data at a certain rate, but there's not as significant real-time constraints. Best effort, and then extended real-time variable rate service. And so you want to bin your application into one of these categories, and we'll see what these categories are in a second. And each category will have different quality of service parameters, different scheduling of services, of allocation of resources associated with it.
Okay. So our first service class was unsolicited grant service, and so this supports fixed size data packets at a constant bit rate. And so an example is voice services without silence suppression. So if you're just trying to, again, generate the voice stream at a constant bit rate. So what parameters are associated with that? Well, the maximum traffic rate, the maximum latency. Again, we know that this is a two-way conversational traffic. And so jitter, and whether or not you want to bother trying to retransmit. Okay. So, our data has, the data that's being presented to the network has a certain characteristic and has certain requirements. And that then determines how the resources should be allocated for that data. Okay. And so in this case, we're essentially having a steady stream of data. So the easiest thing to do is to have fixed-sized grant allocations on a periodic basis. Okay. And so when the connection, when the flow is established, and for the duration of the flow, it will receive these resources. Okay. And so you negotiate that in advance, and then you don't have any additional overhead for the system. Okay, so our second is real-time polling services, and so here, again, we're thinking that we have, we're sending a stream of data, say a video, and the problem now is that the amount of data we're sending in any period can vary depending on the compression techniques used for the video. And so we don't know exactly how much data is going to be sent in any time. So if we could think about using unsolicited grants, but then we'd have to sort of provision for the maximum. Okay. If that's not the case most of the time, we don't want to do that. So we want to provision for what's actually being sent. And so, again, we have to have some constraints on the data rates and see if there's a tolerance to latency. But now we need to know, again, at any given point in time, how much data is being sent. So the base station just asks the mobile station for that information. So in this period of time, how much data are you going to send? And allocates based on that information. So the polling has to be frequent enough to ensure that whatever latency criterion you have is met. Okay, so non-real-time polling services are there to support delay-tolerant data streams for which you still want some minimum bit rate. Okay. So if you're sending a file, you don't want it to go to the back. Essentially, you don't want to go to the back of the queue totally. You want it to be transmitted, but you're not
too pushed if the rate changes as the file is being transmitted. So we can negotiate parameters based on the minimum and maximum rates and potentially priority. And so here we know that there is a longer stream of data to be sent, so we will again ask the user periodically, how much data do you have to send? But we're going to do this less frequently, so as opposed to how many order of milliseconds, we can do it every few seconds. The user, if they're not happy with the polling opportunities, can also request resources during the contention-based polling. Okay. Best effort service would then be sort of for smaller pieces of data, where the issue of traffic rates is sort of not as significant. You're just more sending signaling, so something like web browsing when you're sending URLs or whatever, or sort of short messages to the server. Okay. So in this case, user uses the contention-based access slot to request the resources that they need. Okay, so the final category is extended real-time variable rate services, and so this is used for quality of service intensive applications and applications where, we have responsiveness issues. And so it's used to support variable data rates, real-time applications that require guarantees on data rates and delay. So something like a voice conversation where now the data rates are not fixed but are variable. Okay. And so, again, we have to define our minimum and maximum traffic rates and our latency and our delay and jitter tolerance. Okay. And so here, again, we assume that the user is always going to have some amount of resources that they need, so we'll grant the sort of there is an allocation granted, but as during the as part of the regular allocation, the user can also request additional resources. Okay, so again, WiMAX was one of the pioneers of thinking about how do we deal with the quality of service requirements of various types of data traffic.
that idea
is fully present also in LTE systems, and with a similar sort of approach that again you can establish sort of links between user and either the base station or even further back to the gateway, and
then use the centralized controller to perform resource allocations based on the links defined. Okay. So again, just to what LTE establishes is essentially a data pipe between the user and the gateway, and where the gateway again moves out, sends the data out to the internet. And quality of service negotiations are linked to this connection between user and gateway, which is called an EPS error. Okay. So, like WiMAX, the physical resources are OFDM carrier time slot combinations. And again, like WiMAX, depending on the channel characteristics, the bits may vary over the number of the bit rate over those channels may vary according, again, to channel coding and modulation.
The network is going to allocate what are called bearers between user equipment and, again, the gateway out into the internet. And the bearer is a bit pipe between the user and the network. And, again, the user can negotiate sort of resource allocation over that, associated with that pipe. A default bearer is always set up when a mobile connects to the network, and an IP address is allocated to the user when this default bearer is set up. Okay, so that sort of gives the user its connection, its basic connection to the internet. Now, for the purposes of quality of service negotiations, we can define dedicated bearers between, again, the user and the gateway. And again, we'll associate resource allocation to these bearers depending on what they're supposed to be doing. And all of the different connections between the user and the network are tagged with the same IP address.
Okay, so the resource allocation of the bearer is specified according to a number of parameters. The quality of service class identifier, and that's going to be the Well, that specifies
quality of service parameters, so loss, delay, and priority.
Allocation and retention priority, and that's a sort of priority indicator. And so, if there is congestion, it again determines who gets the resources. Okay. We have a guaranteed bit rate potentially. And a maximum bit rate. So again, it is a minimum that we're going to give to the user and a maximum that will tolerate the user sending into the system. What's called a per APM aggregate maximum bit rate. And so the APN refers to the network, and all of the non-guaranteed bitrate bearers can have a maximum, can take up a maximum amount of resources. So the more users you have, again, if they're all using non-guaranteed bitrate services, then the less there will be per user. And then, specific to a single user, there's a maximum bitrate allocated to a single user. And so, again, if the user has a number of bearer connections with the network, then there's a cap on the total amount of data they can send. Okay. So, again, the quality class indicator defines 9 possible classes, and these are divided up as the either guaranteed bitrate or non-guaranteed bitrate, where the guarantee is on long-term average data rates. So there can be fluctuation over short periods of time, but on average, you're guaranteed a rate. You're guaranteed a loss rate and a delay. Obviously, the delay is what the system can control. It can control between user and gateway. No guarantees once you leave the gateway. And then priority, which indicates, again, the order in which data will be handled. Okay. So, again, we always have a default bearer, and the default bearer is a sort of best effort system.
And then if we are sending sort of specific types of data, then we can define a dedicated bearer, sort of a specific flow, and that, again, can either be sort of guaranteed bit rate or more of a best effort attempt.
Okay, and so, again, these are the parameters that we arrive at for our
classes. And so again, you can see that we have within each, either guaranteed bit rate or non-guaranteed bit rate, we have different priorities and different delay times.
Okay. And so,
as you see, that's sort of the highest, the more desirable classes are reserved for our sort of interactive applications, so two-way applications, and then one-way are more priority. Okay, so again, if you're doing buffered streaming of your video, then you don't even smooth over any variations in transmissions through the buffering, and you don't need as tight quality of service guarantees. Okay. And so, bearers are, DBS bearers are associated with our quality of service indicators, or QCIs. And so basically they're defining a traffic class. And so within that class, you can have potentially more than one flow going. So you have more than one sort of data stream within that class. Okay. So data for a specific application is carried in what's called the service data flow. And again, the bearers can contain more than one service data flows, but all of the service data flows contained in the bearer will have the same QCI in there. Service data flows can be further broken down into a number of unidirectional packet flows. So that's sort of the you may have sort of multiple streams of data for the same application. Okay. So to see an example, we're sending a number of audio visual streams, and so we have a single EPS bearer, which again determines the basic parameters for our flows. And then within that, we've got a number of service data flows. And so they all have the same sort of quality of service requirements. Each service data flow obviously has the same IP address. Each service data flow has a port number to distinguish the application. And then within the service data flow, you can have multiple data streams. So when you for instance, if you're transmitting video, you have the audio and video stream are sent separately. And so the network will make guarantees for each of these service data flows, and then basically it's up to the user how they sort of within those guarantees what sort of traffic they want to send. Again, there are constraints on sort of overall data rates, so there would be constraints on how many of these flows the user could create at a given time. Okay, and so negotiation for the resources is sort of complex, and there's not a lot sort of out there on the precise algorithms that are used. But again, you might think it's going to be similar to what we saw for WiMAX. Obviously, the inputs that we need to consider are the quality service requirements, the channel quality, and also sort of globally the load on the EMOD. And again, the allocation is determined centrally and indicates for each user, the resources available, and then the coding and modulation schemes that have to be used along any given channel. So, again, a similar way to what we saw for WiMAX. Okay, so our final our final topic will be looking at Wi-Fi. So WiMAX and LTE were both centralized control, and again, Wi-Fi in its most common mode is a decentralized system. Okay. So the same modulation and coding channel adaptation techniques are similar ones are used. Okay. So we can, again, we can vary resource allocation and what we send along the resources depending on the channel conditions. Okay, so we change the modulation scheme, the coding rates, potentially the channel bandwidth, and also the number of channels that we allocate to a given transmission. And again, there's a lot of permutations defined. So we have fixed modulation and coding schemes, and then we've got sort of more complicated techniques that allow different streams to use different modulation and coding schemes. Access points have to support the first 15, so all these are fixed modulation coding, and users have to support the first 8. And so, as we saw before, again, we can adapt our transmission to the channel conditions. Okay. So, again, the other quality of service and we can try and what we are sending, we can try and send as well as possible, but we have, again, these different traffic types that need more or less resources or more or less resource support than others. And so the question is, in our basic contention-based mechanism, can we anyway build in a way to favor favor quality of service intensive applications over non-quality of service intensive applications? Okay, and that's the function of 802.11e. Okay, and so A2211E sort of suggests two possible approaches. One is to offer a contention-free period, so a period in which allocation can be controlled by access points. And obviously, if you do that, you're back to what we saw before with LTE and WiMAX, where it's just up to the access point to allocate the resources. Okay. So, in this case, again, we find traffic classes and traffic streams. So traffic class would indicate what quality of service requirements were, and traffic streams are individual actual data streams that need those quality of service requirements. And then we can allocate the service on a per stream basis.
Okay, so we've already said that it's not that common to have this PCF functionality.
So the question then is, within a distributed context, what can we do? And so what we can do is we can try and change the medium access for different classes of traffic, and in order to give higher priority to quality of service intensive traffic, such as voice.
And so
what EDCA does is it defines a number of traffic classes. So we have a video class, a voice class, and two best effort classes. And so that's it changes by changing the parameters slightly that are associated with these classes, allows for favoring of our voice and video traffic.
Okay, so each traffic class
has a number of parameters associated with it. A contention window, and so these are these first two we've seen before, although not in a way that distinguished or changed them depending on the traffic. And so the shorter your contention window, the higher the likelihood of your packet getting through. If you need to retransmit, you're retransmitting in a smaller space than somebody else, so the higher the probability that your packet will get through. Okay, so shorter windows indicate higher priority, or are given the higher priority traffic. And the other thing we can change is the interframe spacing. And so the shorter the interframe spacing, again, the more likely your packets are to get first, and so that too is associated with higher priority packets. Finally, once you're in, you're given, you know, not just time to send a packet, but you're given what's called a transmission opportunity. So once you've sort of seized the medium, you can transmit as many frames as you can over that in that transmission opportunity time. Okay, and so we can see that we have our four traffic classes, so our background traffic, our best effort traffic is allowed to climb to a very high contention window size, which means that if it keeps contending, eventually it's going to be fairly low probability, but it is the one to transmit first. Okay, and you can distinguish the classes that are distinguished according to their interframe spacing. Okay, so this will mean that the best effort traffic has a slight edge over the background traffic. These have no transmission opportunity associated with them, so they'll transmit the one packet per contention round. Our two other classes are video and voice. And so voice is given a smaller contention window, which will, again, prioritize it over video. And through the IFSN, they're both prioritized over our best effort. When you seize the medium, voice gets transmission opportunity, and as you might expect, video gets a longer transmission opportunity. Okay.
So there's no guarantee provided by this system.
It is just, again, sort of better opportunity for your more
quality of service sensitive data. Okay, so that's it. That's all I want to say about quality of service. Again, the techniques used by the various systems, they break down into essentially either you have a centralized control or not.
And then once you have centralized control, you have sort of similar approaches to how to allocate, how to handle your traffic within those within that the framework. So there's a few references, and I think. Anderson will be here in 10 minutes, so if you want to take a short break, I will leave you now and see you next week.